Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
This is Jaguars Postgame from the HannityAutos.com studio at EverBank Field in Jacksonville. The final score at LP Field in Nashville, 16-14. Titans over the Jaguars. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey here in Jacksonville. We go down to Weston, Florida on the phone line and welcome in pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor. And boy, guys, it was not the best of second halves for this Jaguars team early in that second half, but stayed alive in the game, stayed within a couple of scores, got the onside kick, had a chance, all this, scored the touchdown late, hung around in the game. But Fred, it's still just a disappointing day for this Jags team.
That's a disappointing day. You guys know me. I always like to go right to the positive first and foremost. They improved today. I believe they improved by the fast start. You know, the play calling was very good early. There's no consolation at the very end of it all. We want to see wins at the end of the day. The better teams, they find a way to get those wins. Here at the very end of the game, we have a block kick, and that really just highlights that we're not where we should be. We're not a good team. Usually bad teams find a way to lose it. But hopefully guys will continue to work at it.
You know, Fred, I'm sure the Titans saying some of the same things. Hey, if we just recover an onside kick, it doesn't come to that point. But really, when you lose it in the fashion that the Jags did today, it just highlights a couple of critical mistakes. An interception when they already had the ball in field goal range, and then, of course, Cecil Short's fumble when, they had a chance to really cut that deficit.
Yeah, very critical fumble by Cecil right there. They were working, trying to get it in range. Anything right there other than the fumble. You get three right there. Play great defense as you did. Go back on offense. Give yourself an opportunity to go down. At the very end of the day, they were still in it, and I believe they did improve today. That's the one area that I would like to highlight is the improvement. Although the result wasn't there, they got better, and I can live with that.
JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. This is Jaguars postgame. We're awaiting head coach Gus Bradley in Nashville. He will speak with Jeff Lagerman. We'll have the first word with the head coach coming up. But this Jags defense in the second half gave up two field goals, forced three and outs in a row, and then they kneel down at the end of the game. So the defense did their job today, if you look at it in terms of the drive chart, Fred.
You know, I thought they played well. You know, early on they were getting pressure with four down, didn't really have to blitz a whole lot. Their run defense there, you know, holding the guys to 16 yards in the first half, and even the third down defense. So when they did have an opportunity, they got off the field. Although you still see maybe one or two too many big plays, and that those other things that can hurt us. So they'll continue to improve as the season goes along, and hopefully we get this win sooner than later.
Fred, offensively, looked for Storm Johnson to maybe spark that running game today. He got in the end zone, but overall, once again, Jags had more of a commitment to the run today, but still not getting those results.
You know, the results didn't come. I'm a little surprised. In the first half, he had 9 for 16. Not a whole lot there, yet he did have 9 carries. And the way they started the game, they were committed. They were trying to find and see if anything was there. Only one carry, if I'm not mistaken, in the second half, that went for 5 yards. I like to have seen get more opportunities there. The game situation didn't necessarily allow for it, although I did like the play calling early. At one point in the second half, I think we came out run, and when we didn't have a whole lot of time left on the clock. But, you know, still, they're trying to find their way. They're trying to find, you know, what's going to work, the group that's going to work. And I think they're headed in the right direction with the young guys. You might as well play them.
Let's go back to Nashville, Tennessee. Jeff Lagerman is live with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, obviously a tough loss, but you got to feel good the way your team fought and clawed and scratched back in this game.
Well, I do appreciate that. I mean, tremendous courage, tremendous effort, played from snap to whistle. You know, it's just discouraging. Some things that we can take care of, our tackling, our penalties, things like that, we got to clean up.
Can the running game get better next week? I know that me and you had talked earlier in the week about how explosive plays sometimes happen for an offense when the running game is going. Is that going to be obviously a point of emphasis for you guys going forward still?
Yeah, we got to take a look at that. I know we got away from it some. We didn't have many series in the second half. But we really got to – I know we got about 80 yards rushing, I think, and Storm did a good job. But we got to continue to build off of that. And, you know, our offensive line can handle a challenge, and so can our backs.
In the turnover battle, second half, they were able to get two against you guys. You guys weren't able to get any. That's how you win, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? It is. It's so much into the impact of the game. And, you know, this game, at least we had the ball out a couple times. And we didn't get them on defense. And it's such a big, big part of it. It's always all about the ball. And for the last couple of weeks now, we're not getting enough.
12 seconds to go, the 55-yard of Josh Gobe. Any thought maybe one more play?
Yeah, we didn't have any timeouts. You know, made some bad decisions on my part with the challenges, and we lost the timeouts. And, you know, when it was just too close, I think, for us to take a chance. We talked to Josh about, you know, the level he needs to get to in a 37, and we were there, so we took our chances.
I guess it looked like only Geno Hayes was the guy, only guy that got injured in that game. It looked like he returned, so it looks like he came out of it pretty healthy.
Yeah, I'll find out more from the trainers right after this, but, you know, hopefully it was just Geno, and hopefully he'll be fine.
Thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with head coach Gus Bradley just outside of the Jaguars locker room at LP Field. When we come back, Jeff goes inside. We'll have more with Fred Taylor as well. We'll choose an MVP of the game. Final score in Nashville, 16-14. Titans are now 2-4. The Jags fall to 0-6. And more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score in Nashville, 16-14. The Titans are 2-4. The Jags fall to 0-6. At Geico, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the Geico office nearest you. Jeff Lagerman is inside the Jaguars locker room with Will Blackman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Will, obviously a tough loss for you guys defensively at second half there. To be able to get three consecutive three and outs and give your offense an opportunity in the fall short's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is tough. I appreciate how everyone, you know, competed to the last wire, you know, players and coaches. But once again, it's stuff we got to take care of individually. You know, in the first half, I think starting off with me, it was missed tackles, you know, that led to explosives. And then the second half, you know, there was some, like we talked about earlier, there was the sack fumble that, you know, everyone has to be alert and pick that up. So that was a missed opportunity. But we still did a good job getting off the field on defensively wise. But today was just a missed opportunity as a whole.
Offensively, you guys come out right out of the gate, put a drive together and score a touchdown. And all of a sudden, it kind of disappeared for a while. Second half started getting things together a little bit, and then the two turnovers just hurt. But you guys were still responding defensively.
No, it is tough. You know, it's the in this league, it's you have to make plays. It's who makes the most plays and who makes the least amount of mistakes. That's the way the NFL goes. That's how difficult it is, you know. So we have to do a better job of getting the football on defense and as well as protecting the football on offense, because at the end of the day, it is all about the ball. It's this one, even though I'm in good spirits still, this one definitely hurt because I felt like everyone was like, all right, you know, kind of like last year where I think it was around week 8 where we were like, all right, let's put it together. We already know what the deal is. And same thing around this time, it was like, all right, you know, let's put it together because we know what the issues are. That's what's difficult about it. It's not a matter of, you know, people are just out hitting us, you know, out playing us, and, you know, like no one's out coaching us. It's just a matter of individually, you know, we need to take care of our job. I was telling, I think, Aaron Cove on the sideline that I always compare, like, football to my marriage, you know, where if I'm not right individually, then my household is going to fall apart. But when I take care of my job, my responsibility, then I uplift everybody else. So I think everyone just needs to look in the mirror, you know, starting with me, and how can I do the things that I need to do individually that's going to help this team.
And it's such a young team. Yeah. How do you kind of pass that on to the young team?
Just keep talking to him. Like I said, I should have started with Aaron Colvin. You know, I'm talking to him. So just keep I think Ray Lewis had a quote. He said, if you can't share, then why learn? You know what I mean? So I think, you know, God put me in a position to give me this role, because I'd never been in this position before where, you know, I had to, you know, not monitor, but help lead and school guys up. I was always the young guy on a veteran team, or I was on a veteran team where, you know, you don't got to tell him anything. He already knows what he has to do because he's been through it. So this is a new challenge for me that I'm definitely embracing, and, you know, hopefully, you know, we can have everybody mature quick and you have to, because at the end of the day, they're not rookies anymore. You know, you're here. So when you're on the field, it's an even playing field. You know, there's no casualties, basically.
All right. Thank you, Will.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with Will Blackman in the Jaguars locker room. Fred Taylor on the phone line with us. Your reaction to those comments, Fred?
You know, I pretty much echo exactly what he's saying. The guys know who they are. The thoughts in the locker room are, we have to stick together. It's frustrating. You know, it's frustrating. You're a pro. Here you are. You're practicing all week. You know, you're studying. You're trying everything. And then the results just aren't there. So, you know, it could be quite frustrating, but everyone has to look at themselves, as you mentioned, and just continue to just keep on, you know, chipping away until something breaks.
I think, you know, the thing you like to hear is the accountability from Will Blackman, but ultimately, let's clean this up. You know, I'm responsible for this. I got to do better in this area. We got to see those results start to show, Fred. I mean, the missed tackles have been an issue with this team seemingly at different points all throughout the season. And today, you know, sometimes we saw it pretty good. Cyprian came up and made some nice plays at or behind the line of scrimmage, but he also got caught peeking in the backfield. You had too many mental mistakes, I think, on defense. So while they did a decent job overall for the second consecutive week on that side of the ball, still too many opportunities that you're almost letting the other team have.
Fred, hold on just a moment. We'll get back to you. Let's go back to Nashville. Austin Pastor is with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
Success early, the first drive of the game, kind of struggled a little bit offensively, but how big was it for you guys to have an opportunity to win at the end of that game?
No, it felt really good to get that opportunity. You know, our onside kick team did a great job getting us the ball back, and, you know, our offense put us in position for a field goal, so that's all we can ask for, right?
Two giveaways by the offense obviously hurt a little bit. Gave up two field goals in that ball game, which, you know, obviously either one of them could have been the difference in the ball game. As an offense, you're very young. What do you need to do to take the next step to grow?
I think we need to finish our drives. You know, I felt like today our offense, I mean, we moved the ball. We didn't have many three and outs, but we need to finish with scores. And when we get in the red zone, we got to score touchdowns. And when we get across the 50, we got to score field goals.
How big are explosive plays as part of that? The first drive you had, I think it was a 59-yarder to Clay Harbor. And the running game plays a huge part in that too, with play action, doesn't it?
That's right. I mean, it takes everything. It's the total game plan. It's all 11 guys on the field, and you know, we just need to keep working at it.
All right, thank you, Austin.
Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room with Austin Pastor. Guys, it's time to choose an MVP of this game. Fred, you've had a little time to think about this. What do you think today?
I'm going with the quarterback. He continues to show signs of maturation. And he's playing better. He protected a bit better today. Only one interception, and I just like his control. So I'm going with Bortles.
Okay, Blake Bortles. Mike Dempsey, who you got?
I think you can certainly look at Bortles for his performance today. I'm going to give a tip of the cap to Clay Harbor. Three catches for 91 yards and a score. The first one set up the only score of the first half. The second one resulted in the score there late in the football game. And I thought a great job, too, because if he gets tackled around the 5-yard line, you're not even going to get a chance to get that onside kick. More time's going to run off the clock. So to be able to bounce off would-be tacklers, get that ball in the end zone, 3 for 91 and a touchdown, and another play that set up a touchdown.
And for the first time all year, we've outvoted you, Fred. Clay Harbor, 3 for 91 yards and a touchdown. He is the MVP of today's game. 2 votes to 1.5 over Blake.
Congrats. He played well.
Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we return, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. A little later, the Bud Light play of the game. much more as well after the Jags fall in Tennessee, 16-14. Titans are now 2-4. The Jags fall to 0-6. And more Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score in Nashville, 16-14. The Titans over the Jags. Jaguars postgame brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. Johnstown Center, where exceptional is affordable. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor joining us over the phone line. It is time, Fred, for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game. Brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. You ready, Fred?
Let's do it.
Defensively, what is worse, allowing chunk plays or big penalties on third down?
You're just one play away from getting off the field, and a big first down or a big penalty gives the other team first down. I absolutely hate those. The other deep plays, the chunk plays, you can deal with those. Bend don't break, but a third down hurts.
All right, Fred, question number two. Gus Bradley talked about the run game picking up around 82 yards, but 38 of those came on runs by your quarterback today, 18 carries for 44 for the tailback. So the question is there any hope for the run game?
Yeah, hope, man. You have to hope that something gets better up front. You want to be able to be more consistent in your play calling. That will allow you to get into those situations. Unfortunately, we hadn't really been able to just sustain a drive where we can get into those run situations and give the guys opportunities to carry the ball. But there's always hope, Mike.
We'll finish with wide receivers. Any chance the Jags could find some kind of separation and get something going deep down the field? It doesn't seem it was there today again. How do you improve that?
You got to take those shots. You got to script them in. If it's, you know, one shot a quarter, here you are, you know, four shots a game. Give yourself an opportunity, 50-50 ball, PI, or maybe even a completion. So you just have to script them into plays and sometimes, you know, force feed it.
There you have it. Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of today's game from Fred Taylor. Call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for $19.99 a month for 12 months. There's no term contract and no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 11/9/14 and restrictions apply.
Fred, I want to go back to your first answer. You're talking about the penalties on third down. We saw the one series coming out of the second half. Chris Clements with the offsides on a 3rd and 5. We saw, I think, Will Blackman might have been illegal contact, I think, on 3rd and 2.
Yeah.
And then another offside, although they picked up the first down with the free play going on. What is it that those things seem to come in bunches, and what can be done to correct that other than just, you know, just sharpening up mentally?
No, I think it's a situation where the record is what it is. You have guys out there, as Will said in his interview, you know, they're trying. They're trying as hard as they can. And sometimes when you try too hard, you know, little petty things tend to take place. But in the right situation, those petty things, those minor things could, you know, be very critical and crucial to the outcome of the game. And in our situation, they've been pretty critical. And these guys are veteran guys. They're making a simple mistake. They're simple concentration mistakes. And if you're going to be a good team, you really have to dial in your focus and not be victim of those sort of mistakes.
When we return on Jaguars postgame, we'll get to the highlights from today. The Jaguars fall in Tennessee against the Titans, 16-14. The final, we'll have the Bud Light play of the game. A little later, a final Everbank stats check as well. The Jags fall to 0-6. Titans now 2-4, 16-14 final. Titans over the Jags, and more after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars postgame. Final score in Nashville, Titans 16, Jaguars 14. Jags fall to 0-6. The Titans are now 2-4. Let's get into the highlights from today's game. Also the Bud Light play of the game. Well, the Jaguars started out great today. 7 plays, 80 yards on the opening drive of the game. It was a 3rd down catch for Hearns on the drive. Clay Harbor had a 59-yard reception as well. And then Storm Johnson. It was a storm warning. His first career start in the rookie from a yard away opens the scoring.
They'll hand it to Storm. Tries to push his way past that right side. He's near the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. The arms are in the air. That's going to be a touchdown. Storm Johnson scores on his first start, and Jacksonville jumps on top.
7-0 Jags right out of the gate. Tennessee goes 3-and-out. Jaguars do have to punt on their next drive. Succop hits a 25-yard field goal. A couple of big plays on that drive. 18-yard reception by Walker on a third down. McCluster had a 26-yard reception. Jaguars led 7-3 after the Succop field goal. A little later in the first half, well, a couple of chunk plays again after the Jags had to punt two more times. 37-yarder to Walker, 20-plus to Hunter. Eight plays, 80-yard drive, capped off by Battle from a yard away in the power formation.
So the only running back in the game is the fullback. They give it to Battle, running left, leans his shoulder, dives into the end zone. It's going to be a touchdown for the Pikes.
Well, I guess all that beef worked out pretty well right there. That was easy. They just ran it left and got in there behind the rookie, Kyler Wan.
Fullback scores 10-7. Tennessee, that was the halftime score. The Titans had the ball coming out of the halftime locker room and go 13 plays, 77 yards. Succop hits a 21-yard field goal, 13-7, the Tennessee lead. Jaguars' first possession of the second half. Whitey Ray Wilson intercepts Jaguars rookie quarterback Blake Bortles.
Two receivers left, one to the right. Crowd letting them hear it. Todman, the running back. On 3rd-and-14, straight drop, they blitz. Bortles has time, fires it out to the left side, it's going to be picked off. Picked off and on the run, sliding down there after the interception was Bleedy Ray Wilson, but he's going to run it all the way back to near Jaguar territory. Maybe they ran him out of bounds at midfield.
That one hurt, but the Jags still within a score, 13-7. Succop would hit a 42-yard field goal, making a two-score game. Key, of course, 16-7 at that point. Jaguars go 6 and punt it back after a 12-yard sack on third down. Had to punt it back. 3-and-out, though, for Tennessee. Jaguars punt it back again. The Jags defense playing well in the second half. Another 3-and-out. Jaguars were deep in Tennessee territory on the next drive. Had a completion to Cecil Shorts, the third, and then this happened.
Denard Robinson, the running back. They scrimmage now. From the 26-yard line, little slant, that's complete. Cecil Shorts inside, stays on his feet, broke a tackle, and the ball's out. But the ball is out, and Tennessee's going to have it. I'm telling you, he ran it, but he got stripped, and Tennessee has it, and they're running it back all the way down to near midfield. The ball is out of bounds. Tennessee's Avery Williamson, that rookie, picked up Cecil Shorts' fumble and ran it all the way back to the 49-yard line after Cecil Shorts would have had a first down for the Jaguars near the 10-yard line.
The Jags were banging on the door, turned away, a key turnover there, but Tennessee couldn't do anything with it. They go 3-and-out, the ball back to Jacksonville, and Blake Bortles drives the Jags down the field. Clay Harbor, a 20-yard touchdown, a nice run after the catch, too.
You can't take a sack here. You got to get the ball out. Fires to the middle of the field, that is caught by Clay Harbor. Touchdown, Jaguars! Harbor caught it, bounced off a defender, and has scored, and it's not over yet. 37 seconds to play, and the Jaguars are in the end zone.
Two-minute drive for Bortles, gets him down, and then the Jaguars recover the onside kick. How often does that happen? And set up a chance for a win. Josh Scobie with 12 seconds left from 55 yards away for the win.
55-yard attempt from the left hash in Nashville out of the hold of Brian Anger. The hold is good. It is blocked. It is blocked. He kicked it low, and it was blocked. With 3 seconds left, the Titans will take over.
Titans knelt down and won it. Final score, Tennessee 16, Jacksonville 14. The Bud Light play of the game, the Bortles to Harbor touchdown, 20-yard score in the fourth quarter with 37 seconds to play as the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. The world's largest video boards, Ultimate NFL Fantasy Lounge, the State Farm Fan Cave, and the Clevelander Deck. Come see the Jags face the Browns next Sunday, 1 o'clock, jaguars.com/more, or call 633-2000. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey in just a moment. The Everbank Stats Check Again, the final score in Nashville, 16-14. Titans over the Jags. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Final score in Nashville, the Titans 16, Jaguars 14. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor on the phone line with us tonight. It's time now for an Everbank final stats check in this game. We start out with some of the team stats today, Mike, and it's, boy, first downs. The Jags ran a lot of plays in this game. They had 27 first downs to the Titans, 14. Of course, the Jags defense had a bunch of three and outs late. Total yardage in this game, 379 to 290. Jaguars won that. Rushing yardage, ugly for both sides, 82 for the Jags, 70 for Tennessee. Passing yardage net, 297 to 220 in favor of the Jags. They moved the ball. Yardage, but nothing to show for it.
It's coming down to a handful of key plays, and I think that's what these numbers are showing us, because today they did a good job on third down on both sides of the football. They were 8 of 15 converting their own third downs, and they limited to Tennessee to 3 out of 11, and particularly early in the game, Fred Taylor brought this up earlier, they got key pressures in the first half on third downs, forced Whitehurst to scramble for his life in the pocket a little bit, held him to a field goal on that first scoring drive for Tennessee. So, you know, there's some key areas that we've looked at for them to improve in, and they've done a pretty nice job in them. But big plays, the turnovers, that's what's not falling in their favor right now.
Yeah, Fred, turnovers today. Fumble lost, an interception, I mean, in key times in this game too, both in the second half. Certainly the fumble from Shorts, that's a heartbreaker going inside the 10-yard line. But turnovers, talk about it every week. It bit them again today.
Yeah, you can't simply, you know, you can't have turnovers. Gus said in his interview, it's all about the ball. You have to protect the ball. And anytime you give the other side an additional opportunity more than yourself, a chance to go and score, then you hurt yourself. And Cecil's turnover was as critical as they get. I mean, the game was on the line here. But, you know, as Mike said, there was some improvement. Just to go back to where you were, Mike, and lead turnovers a little bit, JP, I'm sorry. I would like to see, against a quarterback like Whitehurst, if you're getting pressure with four, you know, why not send one blitz dog or maybe even a blitz combination? Because the secondary is having a little tougher time out there covering. So I would say blitz a little bit more, especially against a quarterback like Whitehurst. Get him off the center, get him off the spot, and give your defense an opportunity to be opportunistic, possibly get some turnovers back there on the back end by simply sending that additional pressure or two. But hopefully as we go, we'll pay attention. Guys will be more comfortable, and we'll get those calls down from the coordinators.
Yeah, I think, too, the turnover that could have been when Will Blackman caused what was ruled to be a fumble from Charlie Whitehurst, and it one defensive lineman seemed to go for the football, and the rest of them either slow to react or maybe a little confused. Maybe they thought it was incomplete, but that's a situation. That ball's rolling around. No whistle's blown. You got to be more proactive. You got to find a way to get on that football right there. If you do, maybe we got a different outcome today.
I agree. I definitely agree with you on that, Mike.
Jaguars postgame continues. A look at the individual stats today. Blake Bortles, 32 of 46, 336 yards. Saw a stat where it took, not to crush Blaine Gabbert here, it took him 21 starts to get his first 300-yard game. Bortles has done it in his third start for the Jaguars today. Cecil Shorts did have 10 receptions, 103 yards, but the key fumble. Robinson, 8 for 68 receiving. Allen Robinson. Clay Harbor was the MVP of the game. Three catches, 91 yards, the key reception in the first drive of the game, and the touchdown late. So a good day for the tight end today. Denard Robinson had three catches for 14 yards. Rushing, Blake Bortles was the leading rusher for the Jaguars today. Five carries, 38 yards, a long of 11. Denard Robinson, 5 for 22. Storm Johnson, 10 for 21, and a touchdown in the first drive. Todman, 3 for 1. But, Fred, the quarterback shouldn't be your leading rusher.
No, the quarterback shouldn't be your leading rusher. You know, they're going to keep chipping away at it. The good thing is he brings an additional element because he can run the ball. And for that particular purpose, I believe we should continue with, you know, the stretch zone, inside-outside zone, mixing that up with the play action as they have been. And hopefully the guys in the backfield get an opportunity to hit a few big home run runs here sooner than later. But I like the fact that they put Storm out there. They're going to give him an opportunity to get those reps, get some carries, and see what he really has, because I really think he has a lot of upside. I'd like to see a lot more out of him.
Plenty left on Jaguars postgame with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. When we return, we'll look at scores around the National Football League, update you on the 4 o'clock games that are underway. Final score in Nashville. An unhappy final today. The Titans 16, the Jags 14. For more Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. The final score at LP Field in Nashville. Titans 16, Jaguars 14. Jags fall to 0-6. Titans are 2-4. When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. Let's look at some scores from around the National Football League. The Week 6 scores. I'll tell you what, there's one game in overtime, 2 minutes left. Panthers-Bengals tied at 37, and they're 2 minutes away from a tie game in Cincinnati. Been a really good game back and forth today at Paul Brown Stadium. We'll keep you posted there. Late second quarter, Chargers lead the Raiders 14-7. Rivers with 2 touchdown passes. Surprise, surprise. The Seahawks blocked a punt, returned it for a touchdown. They lead the Cowboys at the end of the first quarter 10-7. Cardinals over the Redskins 7-0 near the end of the first quarter. They've played one in Atlanta. The Falcons lead the Bears 3-0. Finals from earlier today. Ravens hammered the Bucks 48-17. 5 first half touchdowns, almost 5 first quarter touchdowns for Flacco. He had 4 in the first quarter alone. Another early in the second in that game. The Ravens ran away from Tampa Bay early. Broncos beat the Jets 31-17. Peyton with 3 touchdowns. The Lions defense had a big day. 3 interceptions of Teddy Bridgewater. And the Lions beat the Vikings on the road 17-3. Patriots beat the Bills 37-22. The Browns are now 3-2. They cruised in a win over the Steelers 31-10. The Browns are coming to Everbank Field next week. And the Packers, a late touchdown for Green Bay. They improved to 4-2 with a 27-24 win over the Miami Dolphins. When we return, a Baptist Health injury report. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. The Jags fall 16-14 in Nashville, and more after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues 16-14. The Titans over the Jags in Week 6. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Hey, listen up, Lady Jags fans. Join the Jags for a girls' night out Thursday, October 16th. That's this Thursday. The annual NFL 101 workshop led by current Jags players, scouts, and coaches includes cocktails, appetizers, a silent auction, and a raffle. Proceeds benefit Jacksonville's Hill Breast Center. For tickets or more information, visit jaguars.com/2014NFL101. It's time for an injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. A couple guys left, and it seemed to come back. Geno Hayes went in for evaluation of a concussion, was back in the game later. Alan Ball had the strange knee injury, the strange collision with Cindric Marks. I think he was okay and came back. But other than that, Mike, I don't remember anything too major today on the injury front.
No, that was just an ugly play where they had the three guys laying on the ground, but it seemed like everybody escaped hopefully major injury on. That's the one where Ball got hit in the knee by Cindric Marks. So you count among your small blessings the fact that you're able to walk away mostly full strength. And you got back Cecil Shorts today from injury. He had 16 targets, 10 receptions. Didn't look like he suffered any setbacks. Not necessarily looking as explosive as you might like to see him, but looked like he got through without any setbacks. Marquise Lee as well.
Yeah, Fred, what do you make of those receivers today coming back off the hamstring injuries? Did Shorts look tentative to you? Did Lee look tentative? Was there any hesitation with those two today?
You know, I thought Marquise looked a little bit more tentative than Cecil did. Cecil actually, in my opinion, I saw him fight. He really scrapped out there. I know he's frustrated, but he looked pretty good. But it was good to have all of the receivers back in an active role. I don't want to say 100%, but they were healthier, and it's just good to see him out there.
We'll take a final timeout on Jaguars postgame. One final segment with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. Final score, 16-14, the Titans over the Jaguars in Week 6. We'll wrap up Jaguars postgame after these words on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score in Tennessee, the Titans over the Jags, 16-14. One note, the Bengals missed a last-second field goal at the end of overtime. The final score, Panthers 37, Bengals 37. A tie final in Cincinnati. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor for the final segment. Fred, I'm just going to ask you point blank. Where do you start this week to get this team out of the winless streak they're on right now? Where do you begin if you're head coach Gus Bradley tomorrow morning?
Well, first of all, I think you go, you know, right to the hardest situation. You go and talk to your veterans. You know, you go and pull your guys there. You go and get Quinn. You know, you even get your quarterback for that matter. You let them know, look, we got to stay the course, man. It's, you know, we've been pounding at this family thing. It's about buying in and still believing in, you know, the main objective, and that is to improve week to week and get better. You know, otherwise they're going to all get frustrated and things are going to get worse. And we don't want to see things get worse because that could, you know, spell some bad things for a great guy like Coach Bradley. So I think you grab the veterans and, you know, just try and regroup the troops, man, and, you know, just keep hammering away. That's all you can do.
Fred, we hear about the 24-hour rule all the time in the National Football League. You think about it, you dwell on it, celebrate it, or mull it over for 24 hours, and then you move on to the next week. And I know you have to do that, but what should you hope that the veterans are feeling right now? Should they be angry, disappointed? What should be the reaction of these guys as they fly back from Nashville?
Oh, man, they should all be boiling over. Everybody should still be heated, angry. You know, 24-hour rule, yeah, that's, you know, they try and stay focused on the next game, and that's tough to do. We're all human. You know, we believe that we could have done something better to give ourselves an opportunity to win the game, especially if you have the heart of a champion. So, you know, these guys, they should be frustrated now. They should be upset. But you have to get in there. You have to watch the film. You have to hold yourself accountable to your teammate, and you have to go out by any means necessary, get your books a little more, and try to do whatever you can to right the ship.
Okay, the Cleveland Browns come in. They're 3-2 now after a big win over the Pittsburgh Steelers today, 31-10. They beat their arch rivals at home. So the Browns come to Everbank Field. Hoyer's playing some ball. He didn't have a huge game today. They ran the ball a lot and got some things done in other ways. But, boy, Cleveland's kind of hot right now, Fred, and this Jaguars team is not quite found a way yet. And what happens this Sunday against Cleveland?
You know, you go in and you go in like you went in today, like you went in against the Steelers a week ago. You know, you give them your shot. You give them your best shot. You know, they're all grown men. They're all out there. They put on their uniforms the same. And you just go out there and you pound away at it. Cleveland is a hot team right now. But that doesn't mean anything. One play here, there, turnover here, there, and then they could easily be on the side of the column that we've been on that side of the column, I should say, the winners column. So I say the guys just get in there, regroup this week, still trusting each other, believe in each other, and give it another shot on Sunday.
Fred, I think if Jaguar fans are looking for some solace from this game, the potential franchise quarterback has not disappointed. 336 yards in his third official start. Where he looks now after 3.5 games, how do you judge what Blake Bortles has been able to do up to this point?
You have to love it. I mean, you spend a third-round pick for, you know, what you would hope to find a quarterback of the future, and he's done great up to this point. I love his poise, and I love the fact that he's fearless, not gun-shy at all. You know, he throw a bad ball, he just gets back out there and keeps gunning. He's still demanding, you know, urgency from veteran guys. It's tough to come in as a rookie and do that. So I think the fans should continue to have a positive outlook. If you look around the league, majority of the Super Bowls are won with, you know, the great quarterbacks at that position. So hopefully one day we'll be looking at him like we look at, you know, the Mannings and the Bradys and the Breezes and the Rodgers, for that matter. So I just, you know, keep faith in him, keep giving him, put a lot on his plate. It's only going to make him better in the long run. And just continue to have faith in him. Build around him. Don't we have to build around him.
Fred Taylor, well done as always. We'll see you in person next week for the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks a lot.
All right, JP. All right, Mike. Have a great one, my man.
You got
there
it.
There he is, Fred Taylor, pride of the Jaguars, running back, joining us on Jaguars postgame. For those locally, the phone lines will be open in just a moment on the Scoreboard Show, 1-800-355-NFL1, 1-800-355-6351. We'll take your calls in Jacksonville coming up. Next week, 1 o'clock kick at Everbank Field. We'll go on the air at 12 noon on the network with Countdown to Kickoff right here on your Jaguars Radio Network station as the Jags welcome the Cleveland Browns, who are hot right now. They're 3-2. They just hammered the Steelers today. They're coming to Everbank Field. The Jags have back-to-back home games coming up here against Cleveland, here against Miami as well. So come on out to Everbank Field next week. That'll do it for Jaguars postgame. The Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. The manager of radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are the producers. And for Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. The final score, Tennessee 16, Jacksonville 14. The Jags are 0-6, trying to get things turned around coming back home. That's it for now on the Jaguars Radio Network.